Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com in Milwaukee. This is brought to you by Lordo's Diamonds. Mention my name, you'll get more off on your purchase. Say you heard it here with Derek Gould on Scoops with Danny Mac, and you'll get more off that purchase. Lordo'sDiamonds.com. And Derek, we jump right into it. I'm going to start, though, with the trip to Mexico. Your thoughts on what happened in Mexico over the weekend?
Yeah, I found it a really captivating and interesting trip, to be honest. You know, chance to see the Reds, of course. Chance to see a new ballpark. Chance for me to see a new city. I'd not been to Monterrey. I've been to Mexico before. I don't know if you'd been there before, Dan. Had you?
I had not been to Monterrey. Been to Cabo a couple of times, and anytime I'm down there, I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah, I was really taken by Monterrey. You know, it was. I know Marcelo Zuna talked about how left field felt familiar, like he was back at home. There were times wandering around the mountains and just being close to the mountains that I kind of had that same sense, you know, just the climate, the temperature, how cool it was, and just those really picturesque, almost overwhelming mountains that surrounded the city. It really, I mean, it was familiar and enchanting all at once. And the baseball, I thought, you know, the crowds were not, you know, the sellouts that were hoped for, expected. We can get into some of the reasons for that. I found those just as interesting as the fact that, you know, the crowd that was there was so enthusiastic, stayed way late into the night too. You know, going on after the game, and there was a party outside the ballpark during the game. So I thought the whole thing was just a fantastic experience. May have brought out the best in Marcelo Zuna, and that maybe is a lesson learned for the Cardinals as to how to maybe make their left fielder feel more at home, more comfortable, and more productive if those things are connected. And, you know, then a split for the Cardinals, which is fine in the standings. And, you know, strong start by Adam Wainwright in a very difficult park to pitch. So all positives. The Cardinals' international outreach, I am fascinated by, because it wasn't too long ago, and Dan, you'll remember this, where the Cardinals were vehemently a regional team. They were a regional brand. They were going to serve and focus on this, you know, whatever, not bi-state region, but let's say six-state region of Cardinal Nation. That was their homeland. That was their heartland. And I think what they've done to spread their wings, pun intended, is probably going to, I mean, it's going to pay off in the long run. And I think we saw some of that in Monterrey. I was really struck by all the Cardinals gear there.
Yeah, there was a ton of Cardinals gear there. And I, with you, was a little surprised it wasn't a sellout. I've got some thoughts on that, but this is about having you on and spreading your wings, Derek. So let's hear your thoughts on that.
Two things that came up just in asking around. One was the price point of the tickets.
Bingo, yes.
A very major league-oriented point that was not reflective of what the local fans expect to pay for baseball. So that may have cut off some of the, you know, some of the fans. You know, the other part was timing of it, Palm Sunday. The Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, cannot stress this enough, but is a culturally significant week for the, you know, for all, obviously all Catholics, but particularly in that area where there is very little going on. I had a chance, and we can talk about this, I had a chance to go with a scout out to a baseball academy. And one of the things that was discussed out there was how it was likely that the academy was going to close for the next week because it was the week leading up to Easter. That's not uncommon for there not to be games, for there not to be activities, for there not to be anything but the religious pursuits and the celebrations leading up to from Palm Sunday to Good Friday to Easter Sunday. So, you know, Palm Sunday being the beginning of that, families together and not at the ballpark. And that contributed. That was something that Major League Baseball obviously was aware and recognized might suppress the crowds there on Sunday.
Yeah, that was number one on my list. Number two was the price point. Number three, there was also other activities. There was a soccer game of a big soccer team on the Saturday night, a big soccer match. And then there was also a prize fight. Oscar De La Hoya was in town. Matter of fact, he was at the team hotel one night. And some of the folks of our traveling party had the chance to visit with Oscar De La Hoya. But he had one of the fighters in the fight, too. and that drew some of the interest away potentially from Major League Baseball. But, you know, you start adding all those things up. The bottom line was, in my opinion, it was a great showing by Major League Baseball and really a great showing by the folks at Monterey. The facility was fine.
The facility was excellent.
Yeah, they found that that was no problem. And I'll be interested to see the crowds when Albert Pujols and Mike Trout and Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa come through in early May. I believe it's May 3rd and 4th, the Angels and the Astros. So that'll be another test to see just how well it's supported coming up.
Yeah, I mean, baseball wants to make that a regular stop, if not Monterey. Monterey would love to be a regular stop from what I understand. But, you know, there's a new stadium in Mexico City that they're hoping is able, or they plan to be able to host a major league game and to do so consistently. So, you know, they want to be on the regular schedule as a place for teams to go. And, you know, it makes sense for several of the teams, certainly the Padres, it makes sense.
Absolutely.
For them
Dodgers.
To
yeah.
Yeah. Dodgers. The Padres, one of the owners of the Padres is also part owner of the Mexico City team. So you could see the Padres making that a regular stop of some type in the near future.
I think the other thing, too, that is of interest is the president of Mexico taking such a great interest in the sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, soccer is the national sport, if you will, but he has a great interest, as you know, Derek, in the game of baseball. Grew up playing
it. Did his father design the ballpark?
I don't know if that was the case. I know that he has invested or asked the government and will invest something like $20 million into their budget to basically try to grow the game. And this is Adrian Gonzalez's brother that's kind of the head of that task force to
yeah.
get more players. And I think it's roughly 150 to 160 players of Mexican background that are in the minor leagues. There's 10 or 11.
168 Mexican-born players are under contract with major league teams.
And then there's, what, 10 or 11 in the major leagues right now, right?
There are 12 have appeared this season.
Okay.
There were 8 on opening day rosters. All 8 of them were pitchers.
Yeah, and so, you know, you can understand why the interest would be high. So I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great experience, and I love being a part of it. So it was fun.
Yeah, I went out to the academy. I mean, it's such it, and I hope I was able to capture this in the paper. I was excited for the opportunity, and I was aware of the challenge of trying to explain what it's like scouting in Mexico and where the Cardinals' focus is. You know, they went out to see a couple pitchers of priority, and then they got, you know, they got to see a pitcher that had piqued some curiosity with some teams, and then everybody left talking about, which that's what scouting is. You know, and so I wouldn't be shocked if he saw come in later if he's in the majors at some point in time, or at least he's going to be kind of bouncing up there at some point on people's radar at some point in time. Lefty throws 91 with the breast-breaking ball I saw out there. That stood out. It's just such a complicated area. You know, obviously a year ago they couldn't sign amateurs, or not amateurs, they couldn't sign players under contract with Mexican League teams.
That's right.
Because Major League Baseball had banned it. So I think when you, you know, it is just a lot of complex issue, but there's also a lot of tributaries to get talent there, which I found interesting.
Let's talk about what happened last night in Milwaukee, the Christian Yelich show. Cardinals got to figure a way to either get this guy out or put him on first base, one or the other. But enough of the home runs, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think you're going to – I mean, look, man, you had a better view than I did as I was on a plane flying back, to be candid. But I did look at a few of those pitches that Yelich hit. One of them, it's just Yelich hitting a home run. I mean, he's a really good player and wasn't a terrible pitch. I think there are levels to this, Dan. One, you know, everybody wants to pitch around him. I mean, it's not that simple, right? I mean, look, sometimes you have to get the guy out. No, sometimes it is. Absolutely. Sometimes the game calls for it. And I don't think it's always with first base unoccupied. I don't think it's that simple. I mean, you could have a guy on first and just have a better matchup. Just pitch around, you know, you pitch around the guy or you hold up four fingers and move him on. That's fine. I get that. But there comes a time where you have to get the guy out. You do have to do that. And other teams aren't having problems with it. I mean, he has one home run against every other team in baseball. He has played other teams. in baseball.
Well, you know what, Derek?
That the Cardinals aren't.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Are you ready for the boys of summer? Well, pull up a front row seat at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill for all the Cardinals action this season at one of their 11 area locations. During every Cardinals game, you can enjoy the new Hot Shots Triple Play Special featuring a large pizza, order of boneless wings, and a bucket of Bud Family bottles, available for a great price. Also, be sure to join the party on the last Tuesday of each month this season for Hot Shots Ticket Tuesday, and your shot to score a pair of tickets to an upcoming game. Don't forget to score $1 Hot Shots Tacos any day after the Cardinals score 8 or more runs. Hot Shots, proud home of Cardinal fans since 1990. Your home for all the games, all the time. Find a Hot Shots location near you. HotShotsNet.com. Hair Salon for Men, proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. Home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997. 16 locations. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. And for an extra $5, get a stress-relieving scalp massage. Hair Salon for Men. 16 locations. There's one near you. Hair Salon for Men.
Hey, St. Louis, it's Matt Carpenter. The most rewarding thing for me is to be able to play in front of the best fans in baseball. A close second is the Snooks Rewards app because it simplifies my shopping. It helps me organize my shopping list by easily finding items that are organic, heart-healthy, whatever I'm looking for. There is also a really cool feature that helps you locate items in the store. So when you're looking for my salsa, just type in Mojo Salsa and the app will tell you where to find it. Simplify shopping. Download the Snooks Rewards app today.
You know, when I'm watching, and this was the problem in the first game that Dakota Hudson threw against them, and I thought this was the problem last night, and it's not only to him, but man, these left-handed batters are too comfortable. I don't see a lot of pitching in, and I see a lot of arms extended. And I'm not talking about hitting guys. I'm not talking about, oh, you hit a home run, let's hit them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about there is an effectiveness of pitching inside. There's an effectiveness of, I don't care if you're Albert Pujols. We saw it a lot when he was in St. Louis. Teams would try to back him off the plate. You can't own the plate. And that's the biggest problem I had in watching the game last night. There's just way too many comfortable at-bats by left-handed batters against the Cardinals. Now,
I'm glad
that's a byproduct of right-handed pitching going against lefties and trying to get in. Sometimes they can't, you know, but then you got to find a lefty that can. And that is what stood out to me.
Yeah, sometimes righty going in on lefty, you know, the lefty extends, greets the ball before it gets there.
Correct.
And those go for a long ways. I get that. I think it's interesting that you brought up Albert Pujols, and I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine here, and I am going to make a point, okay? You remember Wandy Rodriguez with the Houston Astros?
Sure.
Lefty had such against Albert Pujols, right? Just curious success against Albert Pujols. So he was like something like 1-for-13. Against Wandy Rodriguez. Wandy Rodriguez had a pitch on Albert's hands. He made it very difficult for him to get much the pitches. So a lot of weak ground outs, wasn't always striking him out, just really was able to contain him because he had that pitch that got in on him. One of the things that Wandy Rodriguez was doing, I'm trying to picture this in my mind's eye, right, was where he was on the mound. And I was thinking about this watching Hudson, but you know, recently it's like, I wonder if he moves on the rubber, if he would have better success getting in on lefties, angle one that would take away that pitch that they can greet out in front of the plate and would give him a better, like, kind of look almost like a lefty, like Wandy Rodriguez pitching to a right-hander. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Hudson is so, I mean, Hudson is going through now, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of get the sense that Hudson is going through now what Michael Wacha experienced early on, is how do you make that pitch in from that arm slot to a lefty, really give them problems?
Well, when I'm watching Hudson, it's more than that. and this is not, I'm not seeing the same pitcher as I saw last year, and I'm not seeing the same pitcher I saw in spring, and I'm seeing a guy
exactly
that is not trusting what he's got and pitching within the strike zone. And that's what I'm seeing. Not to say he's pitching scared, but trust your stuff. I know that's so, you know, overstated and easy to say, but that's what I'm seeing right now.
That's what I'm talking about with Walker. Like Walker, remember, you know, if he didn't locate that fastball or didn't trust his changeup and he tried to get it too fine or he tried to place it, remember how hitters, particularly left-handers, would just ignore it and force him to come over the plate and pow. Hug that same kind of spot, right? I mean, if they can ignore your best pitch, or they can ignore one of your pitches because it's not going to be in the strike zone and they know it, then you're gonna have issues like he has. I mean, I think, you know, I just think there's this wish that he wants to, like, oh, I got to make, you know, this pitch do this movement to this part of the strike zone, as opposed to, I just have to challenge these hitters. Then I don't know, maybe moving on the rubber gives him a different angle, or maybe it is just like something like, hey man, go and throw strikes. I also see a lot of pitches being called or set up for that's, you know, that outside type of thing. We see this with Flaherty too, that's just prolonging counts, you know. And I'm real interested to see how some of these young guys, Flaherty, Hudson, maybe to a certain extent Michaelis, so well known for throwing strikes, how they get back to being more assertive when ahead in the count. Some of the ways that, like, the Padres and the Brewers have flipped counts on pitchers, I think, is really interesting, because they're you know, Cardinals pitchers will get ahead 0-2, 1-2, and then all of a sudden the hitter's in the back in the count. Working a 3-2 walk, taking a three ball pitch up the middle. You're not seeing that with Wainwright, and you're seeing success as a result of it.
Final question. I'm excited. Ryan Helsley is here. I'm a Ryan Helsley honk. That's all I can say. I'm a honk. Okay. This is my guy. I'm excited to see him. I wanted to see him last year. Unfortunately for him, he dealt with some injuries. Thought he had a great outing in spring, obviously, to start the spring session. He's kind of on the path to me, like a Trevor Rosenthal, to put it in.
Absolutely.
You know, the fans' perspective, and he's got that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about it.
Very similar to Trevor Rosenthal. You'll see him pitch, you'll see his stuff, and you'll go, oh, wait, this is familiar.
Yes.
You know, broad-shouldered, athletic-looking, you know, huge deal. Native American, so this will be a big moment for him and his family, you know, and for, frankly, baseball at large, because of what he represents when he makes his debut. Just a guy who has worked his way through as a starter to get those innings. But the idea was always this guy could be a rising difference maker, you know, out of the bullpen. And he's got a giddy up fastball that I think will be interesting. Adds another velocity arm to the bullpen with a completely different look than, say, what Hicks is going to offer.
Excited to see it. Can you say his area properly from Oklahoma?
Oh, hometown.
Yes.
10.
Yeah, I got to think about it too. I better get this right, Derek.
Yeah, this is journalism.
I got to get it right. You know, are you typing as we speak right now?
I am typing so that I can see it.
I'm going to mess it up. I don't want to mess it up. I already messed it up last year in spring training and heard from folks in his region. I can't mess it up tonight. Come on.
Do you want me to mess it up? Is that what
you're
asking me to do?
You go ahead, and I'll blame you.
I mean, he's part of the – I mean, it is important to note, and I want to say this, is that he's part of the Cherokee Nation.
Correct.
Which would be Tahlequah.
That's it.
Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Yes. Derek, we'll catch you up either tomorrow or Thursday.
Was that magic as I sorted through this and talked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that was great.
Okay. That was great. I'm sure you're going to edit this down maybe?
No. No.
Oh, all right. Well, then I'm thrilled that I contributed to tonight's broadcast. It's Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Ryan Helsley, big deal. I mean this sincerely. I mean, just talking to him, talking to doing stories about him in the past and doing some research. Huge deal for his area of Oklahoma and for the
awesome.
Cherokee Nation.
Yeah, it's great. Catch up Wednesday or Thursday. Sound good?
I would love that. Wednesday would be fantastic. Let's, you know what? This season has lacked rhythm. We've lacked rhythm. I've felt it. You felt it. Now the Cardinals are back in the National League Central. This visit to Milwaukee, long home stand ahead. I think it's a chance. Then DC. I think it's a chance to kind of get our sea legs.
I'm going to blame you.
No, I deserve it.
I deserve it too. All right, buddy. We'll catch up either tomorrow or Thursday.
Enjoy the cheese curds.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.